Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Kamen Rider Chronicles. I'm your host, Joe, and for this episode, we're going to be talking about Kamen Rider Zetsu Episode 12, Impact. This is the latest episode that just came out, and this episode, man, a lot happens in this episode. This has just been a good episode, good, like, show-watching week for me. Stranger Things just came out. This just came out. The end of the year here, man. Like, there's a lot coming out that I'm just busy with my watching. I mean, we got, like I said, Stranger Things is going to be popping off here. I mean, if you want to go listen to, if you're listening to this and you want to listen to me talk about Stranger Things, go head over to Geek Ultimate Alliance and go listen to my show, A Walk Through the Multiverse. You can hear me talking about my thoughts on the volume one of Stranger Things over there, through A Walk Through the Multiverse. But then also, I'm also talking, It, Welcome to Derry. That's coming out this weekend as well. We also have Fallout coming out later this month. Bunch of other movies. It's just a bunch of good stuff coming out. It's pretty awesome. So, I know that's not what you guys are here to talk about. You're here to listen to me talk about Kamen Rider. And I got into the weeds there. It's something I tend to do a lot. So we'll go ahead and get into it. Because there's not anything else. There's no other, like, Kamen Rider things. Other than, I know there's a Black Friday sale going on over at Toko Collectibles. I don't know how long, or Cyber Monday sale, I'm not entirely sure. I don't know how long that sale is going on for, but that sale is going on. There's a couple of cool things on there. A couple of things I was looking at that I'm like, I could add to my collection. I don't need to. I mean, I could. I'm not gonna, but I could. Anyway, so, but we'll go ahead and get into it. We'll go ahead and get into Kamen Rider here. But yeah, so we'll start out, for tonight's dream. Seven is at the Cosmo Space Discovery Center with ECCA, a young boy from the Cosmo Elementary School that wants to be an astronaut one day. They're in the spacewalk room, which is a float. It's this floating area. They're floating around in the zero gravity. When Nem calls to tell them that their time is up in that room, she's an employee at the Space Center for the stream. While they are chatting outside of the spacewalk room, an alarm goes off announcing that there is a meteor. A meteor is approaching and that everyone needs to evacuate. Seven directs Nem to get everyone out of the building while he runs to the roof to see what he can do. When we see the meteors, there are a ton of them surrounding a giant one that looks to be the size of the moon, if not bigger. The interesting thing is that one of the smaller meteorites breaks away and speeds toward Earth, heading to Japan. On the roof, Seven pulls out the barrier capsum and activates it as the meteorite gets closer. But Nox is nearby and tells him to not let the power of dreams go to his head. He fires the Breakum Buster at Seven, who blocks it with barrier, but the blast is too powerful and it knocks the capsum out of his hands. As it rolls away, a dark cloud, shimmering green and purple, pops out of the capsum and floats around it for a bit before resting back into the capsum. Seven asks what Nox did to the capsum, but the only insight he would give is that the capsums have an inner horror that Seven is unaware of. Before he could question Nox anymore, or Nox further, I should say, the meteorite crashes down on the satellite dish close by, destroying the dish and the building it was attached to. and leaving a giant crater in its wake. Seven turns to see Nox has vanished and goes to grab the barrier capsum before rejoining Nem, Isi, and all the others from the center. As Seven tries to reassure Isi that everything is going to be okay, one of the employees walks over and tells them that this was just the beginning. According to the people who saw the start of the episode, there is a massive meteorite heading this way, and we only have 48 hours before it hits. Isi asks what would happen if it does hit, and the employee tells him that it would be an extinction-level event for humanity. Baku wakes up and makes note of the time, knowing that he has to stop the nightmare from coming true quickly. We find him later in the command closet with Fujimi and Nasuka, telling him about a mysterious crater appearing at the Cosmo Space Discovery Center. Fujimi quickly jumps to it being a nightmare, much to Nasuka's dismay. Baku tells them that he was in a bad dream where a meteorite hit, or I guess a meteor, hit that very spot. And in less than 48 hours, a bigger one is on the way that will destroy humanity. Nasuka tries to separate dream logic from reality, but Fujimi cuts her off, asking if Baku encountered a nightmare while in the bad dream. He says that he hasn't found the nightmare just yet, and that the dreamer could be an employee at the Space Center, but he has found Kensei Odaka, who is going by Nox now and is helping the nightmares out. Fujimi doesn't believe Baku, but Baku insists that they are one and the same, even though their looks are slightly different. It's really just the hair and fashion choices, but still. Fujimi isn't convinced. He knows Odaka to be a righteous man, someone that would stop at nothing to help out those in need. There's no way that he would be in league with the nightmares. We get a flashback to 3 years ago, where Odaka is showing Fujimi a drawing of a nightmare that he had witnessed in his dream. It looked kind of like a bat nightmare of sorts. It had like these big ears kind of thing. It looked kind of cool. Fujimi blows him off, but the flashback emphasizes that Odaka was going to stop these nightmares from running rampant in people's dreams. Fujimi is adamant that the man Baku saw isn't Odaka. He storms off and Nasuka follows. We find them heading to the Cosmo Space Discovery Center in hopes of tracking down the dreamer. But while they are walking there, Nasuka asks if he regrets not believing Odaka before he disappeared. Fujimi stops and tells her that if he had, then maybe he could have prevented whatever dangers Odaka put himself in. Nasuka says that maybe Odaka is alive somewhere and is trapped in a bad dream. Fujimi stops her and asks if she is finally starting to believe Baku. She points out that she has seen a lot of things because of the black cases, and Baku being able to go into dreams to stop world-shattering events is kind of mind-blowing. So yes, she is starting to believe. Back at the command closet, Baku is staring at the Gashapon machines, thinking about what Nox said. He shakes his head to clear his thoughts and spins the controls, hoping for a super rare capsum, but when he opens the flap, there is nothing there. Zero walks in and tells him that fortune won't always be on his side. Frustrated, Baku snaps at him, saying that this is an extinction event and he needs all the help he can get, so why won't it just spit out all of the capsums for him? Zero tells him that this room is created by his subconscious, and that the capsums are influenced by his mental state, meaning if he isn't in the right headspace, like he is now, then he won't get any more. Zero offers up to try using the capsums he has on him first before trying to grab new ones. Baku reluctantly agrees. Trying to do what he can to help the investigation, Baku heads to the Cosmo Elementary School to search for Ishii, and finds him pretty quickly when a couple of kids are picking on him for talking about a meteorite coming to destroy the Earth. Baku runs up to Ishii and tries to ask him if he remembers him from his dream, and Ishii did the right thing when a grown man comes running up to ask or to you asking about being in your dreams. He ran away himself. Unfortunately, he ran directly into traffic as a box truck was driving down the road. Baku was able to get in front of Ishii and save him using the barrier capsum, but I'm pretty sure that when the shield came out and smashed into the truck, it killed that driver. It crushed the front of that truck pretty good, and the driver was slumping over the wheel, but Baku turned around and was focused on Ishii to make sure he was okay. I really want to mark that as a kill for Baku, but they brush right past the truck, so I never got to confirm if the driver was dead or alive. Another thing of note, when Baku used barrier, it emitted the dark green, purple, shimmering cloud around the shield, and the shield itself looked a little bigger than normal, that even Baku noticed that there was something up with it. And lastly, as Baku was talking with Ishii after he saved him, he repeated a line he told him in the dream to let him know that he is the same person from the dream. All of this happened just before he got beamed in the head with a baseball. If you forgot, anytime Baku helps someone, something bad happens to him in return. When Baku finally wakes up, Minami is there and she apologizes to Ishii for Baku being a pain. She says that she is glad that it wasn't a meteorite that hit him, which prompts Ishii to say that a meteorite is on its way to Earth. He tells them all about astrology and other space stuff, and Minami asks if he wants to be an astronaut when he grows up because he knows so much about space. He says yes, but that he will never get a chance to go into space since he knows about that a meteor is going to kill everyone in just over a day. Baku tells him that he will make it to space one day, that believing in his dream is the most important things. That believing in his dreams is one of the most important things, or is it, my wording here is bad, is a very important thing to do. There we go. Minami asks if he was always a fan of space, and Ishii tells her that when he was little, he was taken to the planetarium that is near the space center. And that's when he fell in love with space and all things space. Baku gets an epiphany. Maybe Ishii is the dreamer, like he is suspecting, and the Mind's Door is in the planetarium. He rushed home with Minami hot on his tail, and by the time she makes it up to his room, he is already in bed and asleep. I wish I would have stuck with my original thought of how Minami found the command center, because she does in this episode, literally right now. With Baku asleep, she walks over to the closet and opens it up. Moving his clothes aside and finding nothing amiss, she is about ready to leave, but then sees a weird-looking hanger at the end that she pulls down, revealing the doors to the command closet. Inside, Zero has a new capsum in hand that he is reluctant to give to him, as he says. He just says him. He doesn't say Baku, he says him. And I'm sure he means Baku, but I can definitely see it landing in Nox's hands. He hears the doors open and turns around thinking it is Baku, but finds Minami staring at him instead. And also props to her for not freaking out after finding what is essentially a whole other apartment attached to their apartment, but also for seeing a walking, talking motorcycle. Zero figures that she is probably looking for an explanation, which she says he is correct. So he tells her that Baku is working with him on a top secret mission. We then enter back into the dream world, where Seven meets up with Nem in the command closet, and they hop onto Zero and head to the planetarium in hopes of finding the Mind's Door. But they need to hurry, as more meteorites have broken off from the group and are heading toward Earth. After looking around a bit and not finding the doors anywhere, an announcement similar to the one from earlier comes over the speakers saying that the meteors are approaching. The two head outside to see about seven or eight this time that look to be heading to the Space Center. Seven and them race over there, but before Seven can do anything, Nox appears, standing in his way. He asks why Seven ignored his warnings, but Seven tells him that he has a mission and he will see it through to the end. Nox finds it funny that the mission to save humanity is given to a civilian playing agent. He goes so far as to call Code, the agency that Baku works for, like I use the air quotes, works for, irrational. Seven scoffs at this, saying that Code is something he created so it can be whatever he wants it to be. Knox shakes his head and tells him that Code is real and has been around for a long time, long before he was born. This catches Seven off guard, but not as much as when Knox yells at him that he doesn't know anything about Code and then slaps a driver on his chest. He inserts a capsum into the driver, and the driver announces it to be a race. Like, so I don't know if like the capsum is called a race, because I know whenever he puts, like, whenever Baku puts the impact capsum in, it says arise, or Masamero, I think is what it says, which means arise. So I don't know what this capsum is exactly. I meant to look it up, the actual capsum, and I forgot to. But instead of saying henshin, which means transform, he says henso, which means disguise. This initiates the invoke knight system, and I'm probably saying this wrong, but that's what came up. But this also makes Knox completely disappear. When he reappears, he is now Knox Knight. And I'm pretty sure this is what it's called. This is what I saw on the wiki. So it's Knox Knight from now on, when he is transformed. Or as Nem calls him, Shiny Zets. He's silver with orange highlights, and he looks pretty freaking cool. The other interesting thing is that when he is done disguising, instead of transforming, I guess, he has changed day into night, as well as their location. Instead of being in the yard in front of the Space Center, they now seem to be on the roof of a building or in an alcove between buildings. It's kind of unclear. They won't be here for very long, though. Seven transforms into Zets using the impact capsum, and the pair start to fight. They are exchanging punches and seem to be evenly matched. At one point, they are grappling, and Zets beefs himself up with impact and tosses Knox Knight a ways behind him. Knox Knight engages his driver, which causes the world to shift, or maybe just him. Again, this is also unclear. But either way, Knox Knight appears behind Zets and delivers a kick right to his face, which sends him flying. He pulls out his Break'em Buster that is in sword mode. For Knox Knight, he calls it caliber mode, and advances toward Zets, but has to deflect Zero launching the Break'em Zetzer in sword mode at him. Zets goes for his sword, but is too slow as Knox Knight steps on it just as he grabs it, slicing him with his caliber, sending him flying into the sky. Knox Knight manipulates the world again, changing it back into the daytime, and even throwing up a building for Zets to crash into. Zets rolls away as Knox Knight thrusts his caliber at him, hitting the wall instead. Zets pulls out the barrier capsum, but Knox Knight is there once again, slashing at him and knocking him back. He then changes his weapon to launcher mode, or gun mode, and fires at the barrier capsum as it is falling through the air. It explodes, and as the pieces hit the ground, the dark green purple shimmering cloud floats out of the pieces and forms into a cloudy Zets in his barrier design. This nightmare Zets starts going berserker and attacks Zets, until Knox Knight steps in. The Nightmare Zets now goes after Knox Knight, but unlike Zets, he is ready for what is to come, and is just firing away, at one point even blasting the Nightmare at point-blank range, launching him through a fence. Knox Knight loads up the Erase Capsum, again, I don't know what the Capsum is actually called, but loads up the Capsum into the Break'em Buster and fires his finisher, the Break'em Cannon, at the Nightmare. exploding through this cloudy nightmare and finishing it by turning it, this nightmare, into dust. As Zetz runs up, Nox Knight tells him that the Capsum's true purpose is the power to make bad dreams come true. And that's where the episode ends. So I can officially put Nox on the kill count with one. So he's up there now, which is kind of cool, kind of fun. But yeah, no, this was a really cool episode. Really, Nox Knight looks awesome. Looks really cool. Really awesome to see him as a writer. And again, I don't know. I've only known. Obviously, I'm still working my way through Kamen Rider Ichigo, and I've only gone through Gav. So my knowledge of secondary writers is that they will become allies. I don't know if secondary writers will always stay villainous. I can only assume that eventually, and we're only 12 episodes into a potentially at least 48 episode season. I'm just going to throw that number out there. So, like, we, and I know, according to what I found out on, you know, Reddit and the Toe Collectibles, where you've got a third rider incoming. I know that we're going to have more down the road. So, like, will that third rider become an ally to Zetz before Nox does? Will Nox eventually become an actual ally, or will he be the protagonist, or I'm sorry, the antagonist the entire series until, like, a bigger bad reveals itself toward the end and they actually have to team up? I don't know. These are fun questions. Will Minami become the third rider because now she's found the command closet? I think I'd hypothesized that before, but who knows? I'm actually looking forward to seeing that conversation between Baku and her. We'll see what happens there. So, no, this was a fun episode. I really enjoyed this episode. This was really good. I can't wait to see what comes up from this. So, yeah. Thank you all for listening. Mondays and Thursdays, Kamen Rider Chronicles, you know, for Kamen Rider Zetz on Mondays, Ichigo on Thursdays. If you're listening through the Comic Book Rundown feed, obviously on that feed, we've got Comic Book Rundown on the Saturdays, last Saturday of the month. We've got Rundown Reviews every Friday. We've got Getting Franchised the last Sunday of the month. Also, keep a lookout for the Rundown Reviews getting their own feed. Yeah, we've got all that coming up. Beginning of the year, I'm going to keep reiterating this on every single podcast, every single one of my shows. But beginning of the year, ads will start coming. So just be aware, be very aware that the show will start having ads. I'm sure these episodes won't have too many ads. These episodes tend to be shorter, so there will only be like maybe ads beginning and the end, and maybe one in the middle. But yeah, so just be aware those ads will definitely, they help out us. They help out obviously me be able to pay Ron and Chuck. But also because we had to move hosting sites, it had to happen. But yeah, so that is everything for now. So thank you all for listening. You guys can find us over on the socials, Comic Book Rundown. Email us, comicbookrundown@gmail.com. If you would like to come on to the show, please hit me up. I would love to have fans on here to talk Kamen Rider. We can chat about Zetz or Ichigo or any other Kamen Rider you know of, and I just like to know more about Kamen Rider. So bring it on. We'd love to talk to people about this. So thank you all for listening, and we will catch you next time.